Basically left off, just started a new sugya in the Beis Manav, gets us back into swing of things. So the Mishnah listed off all the different numbers of Dayanim Neser for different kinds of Dinei Torah. Now one of the things that was on the list was Miyunin. We mentioned that Miyun is a sugya that appears at the end of a Sechus Gomus. If a woman was married off by her mother and brothers, father's no longer around, father's no longer alive, so the Kedushin is only a Kedushin Midderabbanan. So since it's only Kedusha Midrabbanan, they gave her a special koch to be ma'enesh. She could just simply walk to Beis Din right before her bas mitzvah and say, I'm not interested in remaining married to this guy, and poof, the marriage disappears in the thin air, no get, nothing. That's the sugya of miyun. So the Mishnah tells us that miyun requires three dayanim. Why does miyun require three dayanim? So Rashi had a very, very cryptic phrase. Rashi said, because called the tikkun rabbanan ke'in deraisa tikkun. And when Chazal instituted a sugya of miyun, so they wanted to pattern it after a din midaraisa, and just as the model the araisa, whatever that model the araisa is, requires three dayanim, so to miyun the rabbanan also requires three dayanim. That's a pshat in miyun. So the question is, what was that model the araisa? What was Rashi referring to? So the Rebbe Yehuda had a very, very significant tshuva where he tries to prove to you what Rashi meant was get. If you think about it, miyun and get are very similar to one another. They break up a marriage. Get breaks up a marriage deraisa, and miyun breaks up a marriage derabbanan. So comes the Nadi Budin says, but that's Rashi, that just as the get min hat Torah requires three dayanim, so too a miyun requires three dayanim in derabbanan. How in the world did Nadi Budin know, how did Rashi know for that matter, that a get requires three dayanim, vishteitim, v'chumash, they need a beis din for a get? So the Budin made reference to the Gemara Maseches Gittin, where the Gemara talks about when Rav Yosef was forcing somebody to give a get. So if I question him, how can you do that? You don't have svicha, you don't have authentic svicha from Misha Pisha Meshaveni, you live in Chutz Loretz. And therefore, what right do you have to be a dayan? To which Rav Yosef explained to him what authority he had to be as a dayan, as man as that. So you see from here that Beis Din needs dayanim. Dayanim means smuchim, and three, and the whole 9 yards, the whole definition of Beis Din is necessary for the giving of a get. So that was the whole Shiva Torah that he did. The very, very end of the Shia 2 weeks ago. So we... 3 weeks ago, whatever the last year was. So we mentioned that Nebi Yehuda is a tremendous, tremendous chiddush. And many of the Gedolei Acharonim say, Lohoyu Devar Me'olam. Lohoyu Devar Me'olam, not in the Pshat in Rashi and Sehed in the Beis. Lohoyu Devar Me'olam, not in the Pshat in Gemara in Gittin da Pechas. Lohoyu Devar Me'olam, the entire 90 blood of Maseches Gittin. There never was, never is, never will be. The state in all of Maseches Gittin that you require a Beis in for a get. No such Gemara anywhere. So what was Rashi talking about? Rashi said, gain their eyes of what? So the Chassam Sofer offers the following suggestion in Rashi. Says the Chassam Sofer. You have to go back to that very Gemara, the Gemara Gittin Daf Peches that was talking about forcing a get. Says the Chassam Sofer, that makes all the difference in the world. A get mitam atzmo doesn't require dayanim, but kfion a get, to force a get, that for sure requires a Beis Din, even midaraisa. Where did that come from? Hocus pocus. Well, what would be the source of such a halacha? That get be'atz musa, intrinsically a get is not a nice Beis Din. Never requires three dayanim. But the minute that you put pressure on the husband, then all of a sudden the game changes. What would the source of that idea be? So the Chora, the source for that has its roots actually in Maseches Sanhedrin on the Beis Din. You have to turn the page a little bit. So the Gemara is going to continue, and hopefully we'll get to this in weeks and months to come. But the Gemara is going to discuss what is the source of the Mamas Bishloshah. Where did it come from? Where's the source? Vishtek Mechumish. They need three dayanim. So if you take a look on the Beis and Reveis, so the Gemara basically works and revolves around one pasuk. The pasuk of the word, and the word is really with the hay. You're really allowed to say it with the hay, but somehow we have trouble saying it with the hay. So we're going to call it the gimel three times. It says Elokim in the Chumash. Even though the word Elokim here really means Dayanim, but I just to say it flippantly time and time again, it's just, you know, it's hard for me to say. So we'll just call it the three times Elokim, even though it's not really correct. It says the word Elokim three times in the context of Dinei Torah and Parshas Mishpatim. V'nikra balabayis Elokim, Shavos Hashem Tivin Shneya. Three times it says Elokim, Ad Elokim Yavod Vashneyam, etc. Sheyeshen Elokim. Comes in touch with a pen and says, that refers to dayonim, and therefore you require three dayonim. And the word Elokim has the connotation of three dayonim, smuchim, real, the real McCoy, the real super duper status of judges in aloha, three dayonim smuchim. So if you read the days of the days in that head, you'd walk away with the conclusion Menon immediately that you need the Yeram Smuchim from the words of Akim that appear in Parshas Mishpatim. The problem is that that Gemara in Maseches Gittin and that Peches, where the Gemara was questioned Rabbi Yosef's authority to judge cases of Gittin in Chutz La'aretz, or the fourth Gittin in Chutz La'aretz, the Gemara quoted a totally different pasuk. The Gemara says, Ve'ela mishpat v'shatasim lifneihem, lifneihem v'lo lifnei hedyaitis, that the dayanim who have to judge cases have to be lifneihem, the real koi, the real dayanim, but hedyaitis, regular, just three guys who just not learned a little bit, that's not good enough. Lifneihem v'lo lifnei hedyaitis. So comes Tosfos, take a look at the bottom of Beis Hamikdash. Tosfos asks this bomb kasha. Tema, the last Tosfos, Libay Nabimcha, Tema. The Mashba Hocha, the Matiran Hedyotos, here we exclude Hedyotos. Hedyotos means non diyanim smuchim, Vidichsiv Elokim, Vibrekha Begarish, Vimaidla Vidichsiv Lifneim, Volfnei Akhmofne Hedyotos. So Tosfos tries and tries and tries to give you a pshat, and then finally they say the answer is as follows. There's three lines at the bottom of the Nir Leforish. The begitin le'inyan mili dekfiya ayrei. The ahochi ma'isila, ba'i ashok rav yosef, davi yosef, kama ase gitin. The Gemara wasn't talking about dine Torah. The Gemara wasn't even talking about dine gitin. The Gemara was talking about forcing a get. Amalei v'anan et yotas anan, v'alokim lava bil di isu ma'irei, v'abedin bi alma. Says Tosfos, apriska teres. There are two alochas. There are two dinim of smuchin. There are two different parishes that excluded Yaitis. One is the judging itself. Who is kosher to run a din Torah? So that's what our Sugya Tzedhen and Dabez is talking about. The Imam is Bishlosha Smuchin, Elohim three times. That's discussing just simply judging a case. The Gemara in Gittin Peches is talking about teeth. It's talking about authority to force somebody into something. For the example, happens to be the forcing of a get. The forcing of a get is a different halacha. That's a different parasha. How in the world did Chazal figure all this out? How did they know that the word Ashetosim Lefneihem is referring to Kfiya? So Tosfos continues. But in the last line, by the Mashvalei Milu the Isim Lefneihem, Shem Dashil Nekamon, Me Ashetosim Eluklei Dayanim Deshach Usima. Eilu Mishpat Ashetosim Lefneihem, these are the laws that you put, that you place. You know, what do you place more than mixes? You place kofar ko, you place shuas hashem. Who's placing? It's a chavta. Shetosil v'im. It should be eila mishpat shetalam dein. Eila mishpat shetorein. What does it mean? Shetosil v'fneim. So the Tosh Rappe explains sima means to literally place the put. These are the equipment that the Beis Din uses when they have to force people to do things. The Beis Din has to clear dayanim. They have to use different things, sometimes even physical force, so people don't want to listen. So to get somebody to follow the rules, so Ashetosim Lefneihem. So comes to us and says there are two distinct halachas of dayanim smuchim. There's one parasha of dayanim smuchim as to who can judge a case. There's another din of dayanim smuchim who can force a case. But now comes Chassam Sofer with Gevald Gevon. Says Chassam Sofer, this halacha of a shetosim lefneihem, that you require the Yerim Smuchim not just to judge the case, but to enforce the judgment, to enforce a case. What does that mean? Is that an extension of the first din? It means basically, fundamentally, there are certain areas, certain categories that require Dinei Torah, that require the Yerim Smuchim. And then the second chiddush of shetosim lefneihem is not only do you need Dayanim to judge the case, but you need Dayanim to enforce the case as well. But the enforcement is of those cases that require the Yerim Smuchim. Do I say new part? It means, in addition to the halacha that you need the yam smuchim to judge cases, there is a separate and distinct din that all kfiya and halacha must take place under the jurisdiction of the yam smuchim. Even kfiya of non-judge cases, even kfiya of things that have to do with dinei Torah. For example, a get, says the Chassam Sofer. A get doesn't require dayanim to judge a get. A get is not a din Torah. A get is not in the realm of dayanus. There's no din of Beis Din. Never was. Never will be a din of Beis Din. What the Gemara get peches meant is, if and when you want to force a get, then you have a new parasha of kfiya. The din of kfiya stands on its own 2 feet, and it has to be met. The criteria for kfiya have to be met, even if the case proper wasn't subject to the din of the yam smuchim. So that's the pshat, says the Chassam Sofer, the Gemara Maseches Gittin, and that's the pshat in Rashi as well. When Chazal instituted miyun, so So what does Mir mean, basically? Mir means that a woman's walking, a woman, a little girl, 11 and a half year old girl, is walking into Beis Din, and she's saying, I don't want to be with this guy anymore. And she's basically pulling out of the marriage against the will of the husband. So called the Tikkun Rabbanon Ke'en Deraisa Tikkun. Let's think of a deraisa of that. Let's institute the parameters, the details of Miyun. How are we going to be Neig Miyun based on what the Torah's version of a woman leaving a marriage against the will of her husband? It's unheard of. The husband has to willingly give a get. Unless it's kafay aldei hadayonim, unless a person is chayav b'dina to give a get, and the Beis Din kicks in, dayanam smuchei v'ela mishwal shetasal v'fem, and the kafay to give a get, so we assume that get is also good. That's what the Gemara is befeirish, that kafay such shimon rotzani. How does that work? Why does that work? So the Gemara is the famous reason of psychologically that the person in his heart and soul really wants to do the right thing, so it really is the ritzono. Okay, we'll leave out the musaf for a second. The bottom line is there is a din of kafay such shimon rotzani. So when Chazal was sitting around and trying to figure out, we're going to institute some days between the days of Moshe Rabbeinu and the days of Yehuda HaNos, he instituted Kiddushei Miyun. Some days then sat down and decided, you know what? It's not a good idea for these little girls who don't have fathers to not be able to get married. We want to make sure all these girls are taken care of properly. So we're going to institute marriage for the little girls. So Chazal made up this marriage, the mother and the brothers. But Chazal also realized that it's not a condition deraisa, so we're not bound by the requirement of a get. Let's give her a Pesach out. Let's give her a way out. So they wanted to protect. The whole takana was to protect the girls, and then at the end, before Bas Mitzvah, to try to protect their interests as well if they really don't like this guy. So they instituted this parasha, the sugya with the rabbanan called, you could leave ayadei simply miyun. But we have a rule called the tikkun rabbanan ke'en deraisa tikkun. So they were looking for a ke'en deraisa when a marriage breaks up without the husband's consent. The only case they could find was a get, I take fear. Oh, get, I take fear requires 3 days on him. So that's how Chassam Sofer says taich in this Rashi. So it comes out according to Chassam Sofer, if you have a regular get, there's no kfiyah, everyone's masking, he's giving it willingly. She's there, everyone's happy. I'm happy, we're not happy, but Lamaisa, there's no kfiyah involved, says the Chassam Sofer. Where does it say? All of a sudden, it's given. You require a basin, there is no such halacha. So, truth is that this whole shtetl Torah b'Chassam Sofer is all hinging upon the truth of Tosfos of the Beis and Beis. Tosfos were the ones that mechadish to us that there are two different halachas. One's legabe the din itself, one's legabe kfiyah. So we'll see hopefully when we get to Beis and Beis that there are other Yishan who have a different root in the sugya legamre. If you go down a different path in the sugya, you don't get anywhere near the Chassam Sofer shtetl Torah. There's Chiddush Aran, we'll talk a lot about down the line. The Chiddush Aran says that, no, the reason why they have two pesukim is for a totally different reason. One pasuk addresses the kashrus of the din. That's the sukkah of the Beis Mabez. If you don't have a lokin, you don't have 3 days of smuchim, so then what you're doing is a waste of time. The din is not even teifes. There's a parsha, there's a sugya of halacha, the elam shpat, that once the Beis comes to a conclusion, that becomes the binding halacha. If you don't listen to the Beis, you're gazlan. So once the Beis in paskins up the din, that din becomes teifes, then becomes chal. Unless it could be somehow proven that the Beis was told like I'm racing, then there are sugyas and Sanhedrin about what do you do if a Beis made a mistake, how and when could you ever, in a sense, appeal the din. But once there's a psak din, so the game is over. So comes the Chiddush Aran, the beginning of Sanhedrin, and says that the sugya of three times the Elokim is talking about what are the necessary criteria for a Beis to be a kosher Beis din, to paskin up a din, to have that status of a Gemara din in Halacha. The Gemara in Gittin is talking about something totally different. The Gemara in Gittin is talking about who is it permissible to go to for a psak din. So even if you want to tell me that somehow a din of hegyotis is going to be valid with the eved, it may still be also to go to them. Eila mishpata shetasal ufdem is an isa lechatchila, says the Chiddush Aran. Don't go to dayanim smuchim. So Sanhedrin Dabez is talking about is the din teifes with the eved or not. The Gemara in Gittin is talking about are you allowed to do it lechatchila or not. If you go down the root of the Ran, and the whole Tosfos does get off the ground. If Tosfos then does get off the ground, then some surface prat for sure does get off the ground. So again, back to Sanhedrin Dabez and Rav. Rashi had that cryptic statement called the Tikkun Rabbanan Ke'en Deraisa Tikkun. So the Yehuda learned he was referring to Gittin in general required Beis Din, and Chassam Sofer says Lohayot Bamiyolim. So the emphasis is that we're not even sure that Rashi then Ke'en Deraisa Gittin altogether. Rashi didn't say a word. Rashi says Kol the Tikkun Rabbanan Ke'en Deraisa Tikkun. So the Berlei Chavadim from Prague to Preshburg, from the Yehuda to Chassam Sofer, they all thought Rashi's referring to get there, we're just not quite sure which kind of get Rashi's talking about. So the Maharam Shif in the back of the Gemara says that he doesn't even think Rashi said the word Gittin. Rashi didn't say the word Gittin. You know what Kein Derais is? Can someone think of another kind of a breakup of a quasi-marriage relationship that is eerily familiar to Miyun? Chalitza. Chalitza breaks up not a mamash marriage, but breaks up a yichas of zika, a connection between the Yavadi and Amma. I'll tell you a secret. Maybe it's more than just a coincidence. There's actually a word in the Chalitza process that's eerily familiar to Miyun. So it could be, says Maram Shif, when Chazal instituted Miyun, they really had their eyes on Chalitza. It's not, this is not a get. This is not a get Musa. This is not a get ready. It's a Chalitza. Chalitza? Taka Chalitza requires Dayanim. How do you know that? That's the sukkah in the beginning of Perkut. It's Chalitza. Well, it's from Sukkim. It says, B'rikshay Yifrim Tehillah V'leir HaZikainim. It says, V'Zikainim V'kol Zikna Iro. So Zikainim always has the connotation of Dayanim, of a base. Then that's what Rashi was driving out. So this Rashi is far from simple. Far from agreed upon. We have three Gedolei Acharonim, literally what's Taich in the Rashi. The Buddha said it means every get needs a Beis Din. Some service says a get Ma'usa needs a Beis Din. And the Ram Shif said no get needs a Beis Din. Chalitza requires a Beis Din. Rabbi said, let's now take the Sugya to the next level. Let's take the Rebbe Huda for a moment. The most extreme of the Acharonim in the Sugya. That every single get requires a Beis Din. So there are two basic challenges to the Nevi Yehuda. One challenge is, conceptually, why exactly is that so? What is it about a get that puts it into the category of dinim? Not every religious experience requires Beis Din. Or a bris doesn't have to be done in the presence of a Beis Din. Pidgin Aben doesn't have to be done in the presence of a Beis Din. Not every mitzvah, you don't have to admire from a Beis Din. So mitzvahs tend not to require Beis Din. The processes that require Beis Din are dinim, a dinim Torah. Every once in a while, you get like a quirk of exeris, a kasuv thrown to you, you know, a gera, satar stadarim, you know, chalitza maybe. You know, you have a half dozen cases where the Torah slapped you with a chibur Beis Din. But conceptually, something only requires a Beis Din if it's something that's some kind of a sichsukon, a din Torah. There's something about it that involves those elements of judgment. There's some kind of a din Torah that's been presented for a discussion. So just conceptually, like the hechetese, that a get should require a Beis Din. That's question number one against the Nevi Yehuda. Question number two is a question that all the Acharonim are puzzled with the Nevi Yehuda. You open up yourself as getting the Beis Din and Aleph, and you go straight for 90 blot. You can learn anything and everything you want to know about Gittin and then and come to what comes in the middle and everything in between about Prusbul and Avodim and you name it, 90 blah. Anything you ever want to know about Maseches Gittin, how to write a get, how to appoint a shaliach, how to make a tenai, everything about Gittin is there. Never says anything about a Beis Din. No. There's one Gemara in Maseches Gittin that talks about a get being given from a Beis Din. And it's a Gemara out of context of a regular get. The Gemara is talking about those women called Boker. Hopefully, remember this fondly. First Mishnah get them. Maybe get them dinas ayam. Tzorach shiom b'fay nechem b'fay nechem. The Mishnah says that if you're being a get from Chutz Laretz, so the Shaliach has to say b'fay nechem b'fay nechem. He has to say that the get was written in front of me and the get was signed in front of me, either to make sure it was lishma, to make sure there are witnesses who can verify that it was true. Different reasons. The whole first three, four blot and Maseches Gittin. So in the Avav and Maseches Gittin, all of a sudden the Gemara wakes up and says, how many Dayanim have to be present when the Shliach comes and delivers the get? Do you need two Dayanim, three Dayanim, a whole pilpul, eight Nasadayim, Shlich Nasadayim, a whole Langa Megillah, and then the Avav and Maseches Gittin, exactly how many Dayanim do you need? So come all the Acharonim and jump into the Rebbe and say, Addison, and if 90 Blad Maseches Gittin, the only remez of requiring a Beis Din is talking about Hamevi get and Dinas Hayam. What about it? Every get. Why does the Gemara wake up only about this UD case? According to the Yehuda, every get under the sun needs a Beis Din. So those are the two really, really bomb questions that the Acharonim jump into the Yehuda. Why should it require a Beis Din? And in terms of Lama, somehow we come to some kind of creative reason why. How come it seems clear for the Gemara that getting a given right and left without a Beis Din being present? So comes to the Yehuda himself, and rises to this challenge, and introduces us to Sugi Maseches Yevamos. This Sugi Maseches Yevamos Also a very cryptic sugya. That's now going to be most of our next part of discussion of the sugya, is revolve around how to read this Gemara, Maseches Yevamos. It's a Gemara in the 12th parak of Yevamos, concerning Chalitza. It's a Mishnah, Adav Kuf Dalav and Aleph. The Mishnah in Yevamos, Kuf Dalav and Aleph. Cholza Balayla, Chalitza Sekshera. If a chalitza is done at night, so the Tanakam of the Mishnah says, the chalitza is okay. For Rabbi Elazar poisel, and Rabbi Elazar disqualifies such a chalitza. So the Gemara has a little bit of trouble just identifying exactly, do we have the right girsa? Was it really Tanakam that said it's good, or Rabbi Elazar said it's good, no good, or was it vice versa? So the Gemara plays around a little bit. There are different versions as to who said what, but for our purposes, that doesn't matter that much. There was a machlekes of Tanoim about, is a chalitza balayla good or not? So the Gemara is trying to figure out what in the world is this issue depend upon. So the Gemara has the following. Let's skip down on Kuf Dalav and Aleph. Let's skip down to the first one line. The Gemara is Gemara din Balayla. The Gemara says, V'hocha b'hocha b'flagi. That this is what the argument is about. Mar sovar chalitza ketchilas din damya, umar sovar chalitza kegmar din damya. The machlekes at Tanoim, where the chalitza can be done at night, revolves around one nekuda. Is chalitza considered to be the beginning or the end of a din Torah? I'm not sure what the beginning or the end is. But what are those terms? You're going to chilah b'sof. So the Gemara here is referencing a Gemara that appears in Maseches Sanhedrin, beginning with Dinei Mamonos. So the Gemara makes an observation in Maseches Sanhedrin that there are two psukim that seem to be contradictory about, is there a limitation of time when a din Torah is held? Can a din Torah be held at night, or must a din Torah dafka be held in the daytime? So Gemara highlights in the two psukim. One poskim Pashki Seitzei says, "V'hoya b'yom hanchilu es banov." So when a person is getting ready to divide up his estate, he's trying to figure out who's going to get what. So the Torah describes "V'hoya b'yom hanchilu es banov." So Gemara says, "What does that mean, b'yom hanchilu es banov?" That means if a guy dies in the daytime, then there's Yerusha. If a guy dies at night, there's no Yerusha. So what are the words? He says, no, it doesn't mean when the guy dies. It means that the guy's deciding, he's giving up matanis, he's changing Yerusha, he's doing all kind of kunsum and dinim amunis. So all of that has to be via b'yayim and chilas banav. Why does it have to be b'yayim? What? A guy can't give a matan at night? He says, no, what it means is as follows. That means if you want to be judged the case, if you want to have a beis din sit and discuss it, and give a psak and say, this matana was binding, and this matana wasn't binding, and this tabah was good. All of that has to be b'yoyim and chilas banav. It's got to be dafka b'yoyim. And from here we derive a din for Allah, din Torah, all din mamnis, b'yom for lo balayla. So that's one pasuk. On the other hand, there's another pasuk tucked away at the end of the parasha of Dayanim and parasha Yisroel. V'shoftu esa'am b'chol eis. All the time, the whole ace, erev avoker, it's all right. So you can have dinner Torah, but yom, but laila. There's no limitation. The sky's the limit. So how do you resolve this contradiction? So the Gemara says the answer is as follows. The Tosha explains to us, lokasha kandet chilas din kandik mar din, that when you start dinim mamonis, you have to start the dinim mamonis by yom. How you beyom and chilas by? You can't. The basin can't start the process at 11 o'clock at night. Start at 8 o'clock in the morning. And they're working all day, and they're working all day, and they're kabbalating this, and they're deliberating, they're talking, and then comes time to bincha, so you don't have to stop. As long as you start it by yoyim, you can put the final touches on the din Torah by laila, and even when you give the final psach, and that's ultimately what makes the din Torah binding, when the Beis Din says, ish pleit tachai, ish pleit tachuzakai, that can be done afilu by laila. That's what the pasuk means, v'shav tos v'cholais. So that's the difference. Yom is required for tchilus din, and Laila is still okay, be it for Gemar Din. There is a tremendous chiddush that the Sma'al Chesh Mishpat writes, is that why is it that the Torah doesn't really want Dini Torah taking place at night? The last 2 minutes, maybe, yeah, but you're not really supposed to have the real deliberation, the Masa Matan, not supposed to take place at night. Why not? So the Gemara seems to connect this possibly, says the Sma'al, to, it's not just a Magzir Sakosov. Mishpat, this is not part of it here. This is Mishpat. It makes sense that part of the Dini Torah is they have to be able to see, you have to be able to see the Balei Din, you have to be able to see each other, to be able to see people's facial expressions, to be able to see who's lying. If it's dark, it's not going to be so efficient. And therefore, this is not just time of time. It makes a lot of sense. And the Torah says that the basic gist, the Kabbalah's Edus, and the Dian, and the Masamat, and the interrogating, all that has to be done. Dafka Lor Hayon. So the Sma says, what if we can turn the night into day? We'll get some good torches, we'll get some good lights, we'll illuminate the room, and the basic can see perfectly well. Says the Sma, it could be it could happen the entire night also. Could be. Could be. It's not a Xerxes Kos of Yom Rizalila. As long as you can see, neighbors don't come, maybe you can have a dintara at night as well. A suggestion the Sma has here in Chayshim Mishpat. So the Chassam Sofer brought the Sma down to earth for us. Sofer writes in Uchus Titus, you know, the famous drasha, Risib or so, Prat Lalaila. So what does that mean, Risib Prat Lalaila? Does that mean that at night there's no Titus? Or does that mean at night there's no Titus because it's not a Zman Re'iyah? Not a function of Laila, that's how Lachlam, Laila, Yoim, is that the mitzvah tzitzis was given b'zman riyah and not b'zman shlob b'zman riyah. So there's a magen Avraham in the tzitzis that writes that ben ha-shmoshos, yachayiv and tzitzis b'teres v'adai. Ay, it's a suffik yom, suffik Laila. You can see. Says the magen Avraham, first 2 minutes at the shkia, you can totally see. You know, I was always bring a raya that you can see after shkia for how long? Remember some drives there days. I think the rule was they can't pull you over without your lights on for 30 minutes after sunset. That's still considered to be enough. I'm not recommending to drive with your lights off for 28 and a half minutes after Shkia. But until 30 minutes, it's technically considered to be enough for Zman Ne'riyah. So where did the DMV get the number from? So we said they got it from Ram and Chus Chanukah. So the Gemara says in Shabbos that the Zman of Lachas Neres Chanukah is Asher Tichlo Regel Menushruk. Why is that? Because the whole goal of Neres Chanukah is to be Nisa. So if you're going to light Ibn Hayra when people are no longer in the streets, so no one's going to see it. So what kind of Pesum Nisa is that? So we're not so careful about that anymore, Thursday's rest, because we light indoors anyway, so we have Pesum Nisa for the Bnei Abayis. But in the old days, they used to mamash light in the middle of the streets, about the door, Pesach Abayis, Pesach Chotzer. So if nobody's in the street anymore, so you're not really going to see the mitzvah. So the Gemara says, who are the last people on the street? So the Gemara says, the Ashetichle Raglet Timurdoi. Who are the Tamudois? The Timurdois are the ones who sold wood. Why were they the last ones on the street? Because all the latecomers, all the people who realized, gee, by golly, it's dark outside, it's cold in the house, and we forgot to stock up the wood. So they would run around the last 20, 25 minutes of the Shkia. They were still running around selling when everyone else was ready, ready in dinner, they were fast asleep. So the Rambam writes in the Chas Chanukah, and how long is that? So the Rambam writes, Kechati Shah. The Rambam writes, about a half hour. The way the Rambam gives a Kechati Shah. So the Rambam looked outside and he says, you see, for approximately a half hour after sunset, you can still see. The Riglin Tamadois won't walk around in the pitch black. There was no light before Thomas Edison. So if it was pitch black outside, you would trip and you'd fall, you'd kill yourself. So even the Riglin Tamadois, they eventually went into the houses. So for the first 25, 28, 29 minutes after Shkia, they were still, you know, Bekoshi by the leftover light. So that's what the New Jersey division of motor vehicles got it from Chetikla regular Shekichat Zishah. Back that story. So the Magen Avraham writes that during Ben Hashmashos Yechayev and Tzitzis B'Torah's Vaday. What you could see, I ate a Sofik Laila. So what if the Torah would have said Medav Hashem Oshalei, but don't wear Tzitzis at night? So then you have to Shkia as a Sofik. Torah says a Risim also. It's still a Zman Re'iyah. Chassam Sofer says that the Magen Avraham is right, that Tzitzis is a function of Re'iyah, not Re'iyah, and you put that Magen Avraham together with that Sma, Hilchos Dayonim, you have a Gevalt Kechidish, that you're mechuyev to wear Tzitzis at night if the lights are on. If you have candles, if you have an electric light on, so now Laila's like Yoim, you can make a bracha in your talis gadol. You don't have to rush to get the shul before Chol Nidre, you should get the shul anywhere before Chol Nidre. If you come late, you can make a bracha in your talis, you have to taste kechavim, you can put on Tzitzis at night with a bracha. I mean, no, there's no limitation, says Chassam Sofer, if that Sma's right. It's not the minigun. We don't usually follow that Chassam Sofer. It's a suggestion. I don't think you really meant the halacha. Come back to the story. So the bottom line is, by Dini Mamonis, we have this split between halachas. There's Tchilas Din and Sof Din. Tchilas Din requires Yom Tchilas Vanav, and Sof Din can be done even at night. So Gemara now claims in Yavam's Kuf Dalam and Aleph that there's a Machloikes Hatanoim is Chalitza Tchilas Din or is Chalitza Sof Din. So if chalitza is tchilas din, then it has to be dafka bayom. If chalitza is sof din, then it's okay. Then we can sneak it in at night as well. So there's something almost missing in the Gemara. What's missing Rabbi Yossi and the Gemara? What does that have to do with din altogether? Like, what's the din in chalitza exactly? The Amoraim are explaining that the Tanoim were fighting about the details of the din. Is it chilas asoif? What does it have to do with din altogether? So Rashi has a line in here. Rashi writes, the Govik Subasa. So the Orzarua quotes from the Rivan, who is the son-in-law of Rashi, who picks up on this idea and elaborates upon it. And the Rivan says, that's the secret of this entire sugya, says the Rivan. This Gemara is referring to as follows. Chalitza ba'atzmo? We can discuss tchilus b'tzavdu. Who's the din tar exactly? Who's suing who? Who's taking who to court? Chalitza is not a din tar b'chol. Maybe it needs dayonim. You know why it needs dayonim? Because the Torah says zikneya. It's not a din Torah. It's not a din Torah. What do we tchila? Soif, yoim, lailam. The whole thing doesn't make any sense. But every chalitza has in it something. You know what it has in it? It's going to have repercussions for didim omenis. Because kolzman, that the woman has not yet had chalitza, she's not getting a ksuba so fast. She gets a ksuba when she can. The husband dies, and now she's free to remarry. Then she gets a ksuba here. Kozman, she's still stuck. She's still tied to the brothers. There's no ksuba yet. So the chalitza is going to make or break her ability to be goyva ksuba asa. Says the Rivan, that's the din Torah Shema. So every chalitza, so two dinim, so brisket Torah, two dinim every chalitza. There's an Ezer aspect and a chashi bishpat aspect. The Evan Ezer aspect, which is significantly more important, 99% of the chalitza we're interested in is the Evan Ezer aspect. Is she muteras l'nos l'shuk, or is she not muteras l'nos l'shuk? But, says the Rivan, don't forget, there's also a shtikl Torah of Chashim Mishpat, because if the chalitza is valid, then she gets the money. The chalitza is not done yet, and she doesn't get the money. So now, the Tanoim are fighting about is the Gvias Haksuba. Is that a tchilas din, or is that a sof din? So when she goes ahead and does the chalitza, is that like equivalent to the first discussion about the ksuba, or is that the equivalent of the last discussion about the ksuba? I don't understand b'chlam. I don't understand what everyone's talking about. How can anybody claim that this is the last discussion? This is the opening discussion. I mean, she has this ksuba. She's had this ksuba sitting on her wall for the last 5 years. The ksuba, the husband's still alive, so the ksuba's, the din on the ksuba hasn't begun yet. The husband dies, never without any children, so the din on the ksuba still hasn't started yet, because Kol's bound, she's a kukul Hebrew, she's not getting a penny. When does the din on the ksuba begin? The minute that the chalitza is done, now we have entered into the territory in the realm of a din Torah. We have now with Chashim Mishpat. We have, in addition to the heter of Evan Ezer of chalitza, we now have a din Torah Chashim Mishpat. Now she's going to begin to take the estate of the husband to a din Torah. She's going to go sue the brothers to go get a ksuba. And they're going to say, maybe, yeah, maybe not. We're going to figure out whether she's entitled to a ksuba now. So the tchilas din. So what did the Torah do? What does one Tana say? No, it's Gemara din. What's the Gemara din? So the Rivan says, I'll tell you what the Gemara din is. There is a principle in halacha called the shtar ha'oymed ligvois. A document, it's already signed, it's written, it's signed, it's all ready to go. It simply hasn't yet been processed. I have to just bring it to the base then. I'm going to get paid in a second. It's like, you name it, you're Kala Omed. It's as if it's already been paid. Oh, hold on. So comes the Rivan and he says, because of the principle of shtar ha'oymed ligvos kegavi dami, how do we view the detour of cheshem mishpat of a chalitza? The minute that shoe comes off, it's already done deal. The minute that shoe comes off, she's now enabled to come to Bezin in 2 seconds from now. She doesn't have to come to Bezin. She's sitting in Bezin already. She can turn to the dayanim as she's taking the shoe off. She pulls it off, throws it on the floor, and says, okay, now part two of the, I'm not even going home to come back. I'm here already. Now I want to discuss my ksuba. And one Tana says, the ksuba has already been discussed. It's already done. It's a done deal. Shtar ovid ligvos kegavi dami. And therefore, every din Torah that the ksuba, which comes about, derech the chalitza, has been elevated to a din Torah of Gemar Din, not a Tchilos Din. And as a Gemar Din, Rabbi Yisai, it's possible to say, it's kosher, guess what, even Balayla. That's the Rivan's razzle, dazzle, Shtikl Torah in the Sugya. So you have to pinpoint, according to the Rivan, what the Kuda Samachloikis is. What are they fighting about? They're fighting about this nuance of everyone agrees that the din, the cheshimishpa part of chalitza is the ksuba. Everything revolves around the ksuba. That's what requires a din Torah. That's what requires dayanim. That's what would have required yom. Based on what you think about this principle, shtar over limus and dobi, either you're going to treat it as a chilas din or a sarge din. That's on the revolving sarge din. So as Eliot says correctly, wait a second. We do not want to throw that curveball at us called shtar over limus and dobi, because that's a whole sugya masecha sota, which is actually what is B'Sha'an B'Silo. Nishtha says Masecha Saita, that what if a woman finds herself all of a sudden to be a Saita? He gave Kinoi and Stira, and now all of a sudden we just paskin that she's a Sula Bailam until she drinks the water. So he's taking her up to Shalayim to give her a drink the water until she drinks, she's a Sula Bailam. And then what happens? The husband dies. So once the husband dies before she drinks the water, that's it. He can't drink the water anymore. Behavi Isha Sishka Merchavana, the husband has to be around, has to be alive in order to administer the drinking of the water. So we will never ever know the answer to our dilemma. We will never know what the answer to that suffix is. Was she mizan or not? We have no idea. We know there was kina, there was stira, there was a suffix. It's a suffix that the only way to revive that suffix is through shtiyas amayim. Shtiyas amayim is no longer going to work. The suffix is no longer resolvable. It's not such a relevant suffix anymore. You know why? Husband's dead anyway. No, it's a big nafkamina. Can she go and collect the ksuba? Why? If a woman is mizan atachas bayla, she loses her ksuba. If she wasn't mizan atachas bayla, then she gets her ksuba. If you don't know, what do? So that's where B'Sha'an B'Silo will kick in. So everyone agrees to all the facts they've said until now, everyone agrees to. Now B'Sha'an B'Silo will fight about that Nakuda. Not an impossible to resolve this doubt of a suffix, a shadish, a yeksuba, nishksuba. So comes B'Sha'an B'Silo and says she gets a ksuba. And B'Silo says, no, she doesn't. What are they fighting about? So the Gemara explains in Sotah Chavav that B'Sha'an B'Silo says she has the upper hand in the ksuba. Whenever you have a suffix mamon, whoever's the bala mamon, whoever's the muhzak is the one who wins. She's the muhzakas on the ksuba. Why? Because, catch this, say B'Sha'an, shtar o'imidligvos kigobi domi, that since a document that's o'imidligach can be collected, so it's k'ilu collected, so she's walking around as the muhzakas on the ksuba, let his yorsha prove that she's not attached to a ksuba. They can't prove it, they have no idea, nobody knows. The water's not going to work anymore. So we suffix, they have to pay. And B'Sha'an says, mapidom. So according to the Rivan, the last thing you want to do is make this sugi and yavamus depending on Shammai Beis Hillel. That's not a good way to go. That's the bad news. The good news is that the term shtar b'lulus gavodom may mean different things in different places. And just because we paskin like Beis Hillel that it's not enough to make heart into a muhzekas and mamon, it doesn't mean we negate it totally. It's already a saita shayla, a basra shayla, other sugyas, other mesechtas. So the Rivan knew that Gemara ganz good in Masechta Sota and wasn't too concerned with that Gemara. Just because we don't pass like B'Sha'an B'Silo doesn't necessarily mean that we don't say it like every other halachas. So the bottom line is, according to the Rivan, we have a working shah in that Gemara. Says the Nedi Yehuda, and he basically quotes the spirit of the Rivan, says the Nedi Yehuda, now I can explain to you what made it get into a din Torah. Remember, we have two kashas against the Nevi. What made it get into a din Torah? Do you know what the Nevi said? Nothing intrinsically. I agree to everybody else. A get is not really a din Torah. But a get is always latched onto a din Torah. It's always connected to collection of the ksuba. Because Kol Zman, the get wasn't given. She's not getting a penny for the ksuba. The minute she gets a get, she's getting the ksuba. So every get, licked in every get, is a ksuba issue. Says the Nevi, that's the reason why a get is called a din. It's not a din mitam evra ezra. It's not a din mitam to get itself. The get itself is not a sikhsa. The get itself is not subject to dayonim. But since every get has an attachment to it, the attachment being a sikhsa to be a mammoth, cheshemishpah, whether or not you collect the ksuba, that's the engine that's driving it being a din. So the same way that the Gemara Yevamos Kuf Daled is calling chalitza din based on the ksuba, the Tanoim were just fighting whether it's tchila sof, but the Ikaron, the engine driving the entire din Torah of a chalitza is the ksuba. The same is true when it comes to a get. That's the breakthrough of the Nedi Yehuda. And again, he pins it on this beer of this Gemara Maseches Yevamos Daf Kuf Daled. So he solved the conceptual question. And now he solves the biggest tema. How come the Gemara doesn't ever talk about a get requiring a Beis Din? How come the one place the Gemara talks about it is by the baby get from Din HaSayah? So says it, because guess what? Not all getting required Beis Din. It's not an absolute truth that a get requires a Beis Din. A get only requires a Beis Din if and when there's a ksuba present. And what if there's no ksuba present? So, then there's no Beis Din. Says in every Yehuda, give me a few examples of gittin where there's no ksuba present. She's an arusa. She wasn't even a suin in the first place. There was only arusin. There wasn't, never even reached the stage of the suin. The chiyav ksuba on a kiksa b'shas in the suin. Well, let's say we know for a fact she was mezanat achas b'ayla. So she loses a ksuba. So there's no din to about a ksuba. Yaitzeis mishum overas adas ma'isha adas Yehuda. I give you a list a mile long of cases where there is no ksuba. The only time she gets a ksuba is if the husband, Mirzon Atzmai, he decides that his own free, he's going to go divorce her. He's the one who initiates the divorce. So then he has to pay her the ksuba. So the Rebbe says that the Gemara didn't want to mislead us in Maseches Gittin. The Gemara never talked about having a Beis Din president again because it's not an absolute requirement. So when the Gemara in Davav discusses that maybe getting Din HaSayah needs a Beis Din, that means even again if an Arusa needs a Beis Din for the recitation before Nechta, before Nechtam, that's a special takana. Before Nechtam has to be in front of Beis Din. But a get the Atzmusel doesn't require a Beis Din. A get only requires a Beis Din if and when there's a ksuba attached to it. So that's the entire Shtickel Torah to Neid B'Yehuda. And everything is hinging upon this Gemara in Yevamah, Staf Kuf Dalet, that the only reason why Chalitza requires a din altogether, the whole sugya to make sense in light of the attachment of a ksuba to a chalitza. So if Yehuda was done, he's been done with Nilsa, he extrapolated and said, if chalitza has a ksuba attached to it, it therefore becomes a din. So get hu adinami. Although the Nei Yehuda does make reference to this whole ozarua, you cannot fault the Nei Yehuda. The Nei Yehuda did not have an ozarua. The Zeruah was out of print for hundreds and hundreds of years. The manuscripts of the Zeruah were sitting in the Vatican, where they were somewhere in Europe, they were tucked away in somewhere for hundreds and hundreds of years. And all the early Acharonim never saw the Zeruah. They had snips and excerpts of, Rishonim were calling the Zeruah, but the text of the Zeruah itself, the Acharonim did not have. But the days of the Chafetz Chaim, the days of Mishnebura, already the Zeruah had been rediscovered, had been reprinted, and then the Mishnebura already had it. You have a lot of things like the Meiri also. All the Yacharam, nobody had a Meiri. Anything they had from Meiri, they had. If another Rishon cross-referenced the Meiri, they had a Meiri. The Meiri wasn't reprinted until hundreds and hundreds of years later. So the later Acharonim point out that the Neid Yehuda thinks he's quoting an Ozarua. He's not really quoting an Ozarua. He's quoting a Rivan who appears in the Ozarua, and the Ozarua himself actually attacks the Rivan and disagrees with his entire pshat. So if you read the Tshuva of the Rebbe Yehuda, he says, and look at the Ozarua, this is exactly what Mechav the Ozarua, he was Mechav into what he thought the Ozarua said. But Lamaisa, the Ozarua himself didn't say. The Rebbe Yehuda Shtickel Torah appears in the Ozarua, the name of a different Rishon, the name of the Rivan.
Does it make sense to say that Miyun is going to require giving up the Yonim as a function of Kein D'Oraisa by Gittin, when the only requirement of Yonim by Gittin is an ancillary requirement of Yonim?
Right, which Mir doesn't have anyway. Right, that is a bomb kasha. Right, a super duper bomb kasha. It's like, what was Chazal Masachim exactly? Like, that was the engine driving the Kein D'Oraisa. That's a big, right. It's like a big pillar. Big pillar. So the Ozarua himself quotes this Rivan and says he doesn't know what the Rivan's talking about. The Rivan was bothered with the kasha. Where's the Dintar in Chalitza? Why is there a Beis Din in Chalitza? So he had to come up with, I like that word, ancillary was the word, what the ancillary requirement of a ksuba. Says, or is a rule against the Rivan. I understand. You have to go searching for a reason why chalitza requires dayanim, why it's called a din. Open a Pashki Seitze. What does it say? The Ziknei Ha'ir, Ziknei Iram, the Chalzer Ola, Zikainim. Zikainim is Beis Din. You don't have to give me a shtickel Torah why a chalitza is a dintar. Chalitza dintar, because the Torah calls it a dintar, a kash lemaisa. It's the dayonim. Which part of a chalitza is a dintar? The head of chalitza shibai is the dintar. I don't like the phrase dintar, because dintar conjures up there are parties, there are defendants, there are plaintiffs. I have to leave out dintar. Dayonim, they used it. Chalitza needs a Beis Din because it needs a Beis Din, not because it's connected to some, what was the word again, ancillary ksuba. So if the Ozaru is right, that the ksuba is lo malav lo merid to the existence and requirement of a Beis Din, so what in the world is flying in the sugya? So what's the Gemara talking about on Kavdal and Rav? The Tanoim Ben HaMachloek is a Tchilas Din or is a Tzoyf Din. So the Rivan, it's such a great creative way of telling you, oh, it has to do with the Ksuba, and it touches on Shtabas, and yeah, maybe so. So if the Din Teiru Shabbo has nothing to do with the Ksuba, it's about the Etzma Chalitza, so why should or why should not Chalitza be Tchilas Din or Tzoyf Din? So we had a lot of work to do still. So we thought we solved them, maybe these two serious problems. We're not so excited about the Mahalach that we gave, but the Navida does suggest that Mahalach. We want to go back, hopefully, to this Gemara with Dalad and look at this Gemara through an entirely different set of eyes. And by doing so, we're going to veer well off track of the Navida. We're going to go right back to all the other Gedolei Echaronim. So we still have a little more work to do. Hopefully, the next year, we're going to go back to Kuvdal and Alfa Yavamas, try to give the Sechem shot, or the Ruab shot in the Gemara, and then see how these pshat and Rizvan of the Arzaruah ultimately take us back to the world of the Vilach, I'm sure, what the ultimate halacha should be vis-a-vis Kitna. Hopefully, that's the next time.